To Proverbs chapter 6, and it is humid in here tonight. How many of you men are too hot? All right, how many of you women are too cold? Switch places and we'll be okay. All right. Proverbs chapter 6, and we are going to begin a new part of our study in Proverbs. We did what I would call a general overview, and then we spent several weeks talking about characteristics of a fool, and then we spent several weeks talking about characteristics of a wise person. By the way, let me remind you, Proverbs are usually done with a positive and a negative. Usually says, don't do this, but do this. So usually there's a negative and a positive given in it. So you'll see a lot of this as we study through. That's why we went from fool to wise person and that type of thing. We'll go through some of these things. But tonight I want to teach a little bit and begin. I really don't know how long this one's going to take. I have a feeling it's going to be about 3 weeks. It could take just a little longer, maybe a fourth week in there. I don't know. And then we'll pick up another topic and move on with Proverbs here. But Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. The Bible talks about friendship. And in Proverbs especially, the word friend or friendship is used many, many times. And tonight we're going to begin that. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes here that we're not going to use the scripture for a moment. I'm going to give you some thoughts, and then we're going to jump right into verse after verse after verse and principle after principle. Life is not made up of things. Life is made up of relationships. Let me say that again. Life is not made up of things. Life is made up of relationships. Life, matter of fact, is a series of relationships. Some of these relationships last a lifetime. Some last a very short time. Some last for years. But life is a series of relationships. Few people understand how valuable and important friendship really is, not only to us, but to God. I recently was going through my phone and saw Brother Stoltz's text information and things. And I realized it was about time that I had to eliminate his contact information on my phone. Those aren't easy days for me. A preacher friend of mine recently did much the same with a preacher friend that we both knew, and he said, you know, there's a sermon in this somewhere. When your contact information is deleted from your cell phone, what's known of you? What have you done? You know, thank God we have a man who we knew, like Rich Stoltz. I knew him for, 32, 33 years. I've known him for a long time. A very wise man once said, friendship is the glue that holds all other relationships together. Friendship is more than just a relationship. It is a part of every relationship. There are marriages that don't last well or don't endure well because the friendship is not there. I didn't say that the marriage breaks up, but it's not as joyous as it could be because the friendship's not there. There's oftentimes strain in a parent-child relationship. Can I tell you why? The friendship is not there. I'm not talking about being buddies. I'm talking about friendship. Friendship is one of the few relationships in life that we choose. Let me say that again. Friendship is one of the few relationships in life that we choose. You don't choose who your mama and your daddy are. Right. You don't choose who your kids are. Yep. You get what you got, amen? Sometimes you want to send them back. You don't choose who your brothers and your sisters are. God knows you'd have sent them back. And as much as you hate saying this, you really don't choose who your boss is. You may choose what company you work for, but not necessarily your boss. Friendship, therefore, is as sacred as marriage. Because marriage is one of the relationships to which you choose in life. Friendship is an unselfish relationship. Did you know that children need parents? And that parents need their children? Did you know that husbands and wives need each other? Yes, sir. Did you know that in most cases, most relationships in life, there is a need based on it? In a friendship, you just give. And it's not necessary. There are people that would call me an enemy, but I am their friend. They may be an enemy to me, but they're a friend from me to them. Say why? Because I've chosen that they're my friend, and that doesn't change no matter what they do to me. You see, friendship isn't based on what you get back. Friendship is based on what you give. Let's see here. Brother Harry, did you know whether you like me or not, I can be your friend? Nah, 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 nah. I don't need him to like me back to be his friend. We may not have a close relationship, but I can still be your friend. And that is exactly what the Bible teaches us about friendship. Friendship is a relationship that doesn't need to change. Now I realize people change, but folks, that book does not change. And friendship based on the principles of that book never have to change. Amen. Time with somebody may change, but it doesn't mean that it changes the friendship. By the way, did you know that friendship crosses the boundary of gender and age? Dawn, you're my friend. Good night. She's what, 20, 21? 20? Good night, you're getting old, girl. Catching up to your mother. No wonder your mother's starting to look so old. Now, wait a minute. My friendship to her is not based on the fact that she's a 50-year-old male. No, she's a 20-year-old female. Friendship isn't based on age. It's not based on gender. Malachi is my friend. Good night. I'm older than his dad. But he's my friend. We had fun digging in a hole the other day. Well, I had fun. He didn't have as much fun. He found out what a blister was for the first time in his life on his hand. God bless you, Malachi. Are you blushing? Because I can't tell right now. Now. Wait a minute. Friendship is not bound by age or by gender. Friendship doesn't need the acceptance of the friendship, because friendship is based on giving, not getting. And by the way, did you know I can have more than one friend at a time? Dawn, you're my friend. Brother Barnes, you're my friend. And Wiley, Mung is my friend. And Miss Kim is my friend. I could go on and on. Even Ellen. She may be my enemy, but I'm her friend. Now, wait a minute. I can be a friend whether someone is a friend back to me or not. That's good. So friendship is not based on what someone does to you or for you. It's based on what you do. That's good. Now, I can have more than one friend at a time. That's why at Grace Baptist Church, we will not have cliques. Period. End of discussion. Amen. I've told you this before. I've been to churches to preach, sat down on the pew, and watched some grouchy old person walk up and say, "You're in my seat." Okay, I'm sorry. Well, get out of it. All right. I got up to preach and preached. I thought, well, the old coot's going to come to me afterwards. They came up to me afterwards.
shake my hand. Said, "Don't you ever sit in my seat again."
I thought, well, that one didn't register. Say, "Were you mad?" No, I laughed. I thought it was funny. She didn't care who it was. Well, wait a minute. Friendship means you can have more than one. Did you know I can be a friend to Miss Kim and still be a friend to my wife? I can be a friend to Harry and still be a friend to my daughter. I don't have to give them up to be friends with somebody else. By the way, if you do, you're not a friend. Amen. Let me say this and then we'll jump into the scriptures here. Brother Hiles used to have a statement. I memorized it. It's not very hard. You'll get it very quickly. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who is a friend and has a friend. That is very true. You can be happy if you are a friend. You'll be happier if you have a friend. And you'll be happiest if you get to do both. You see, friendship is all through, especially the book of Proverbs. And tonight, we're going to start a quick journey and see what God has to say about it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 1, where we started. My son, if thou be, watch the next word, surety for thy friend. Be stable or principled for your friends. Be stable, be principled for your friends. The word surety is the word mortgage. It's the word payment. It literally means cosigner, like a guarantor. How many of you know what a cosigner is? That means somebody gets a loan and they need a little extra credit, so they ask you to sign on it, and if they don't make the payment, you get stuck with it. All right? I don't advise doing that, just so you know. It's not a good thing to do. We've all been there, and everybody in here that's done it's been burned by it, probably. Say why? Because usually if they need a cosigner, they don't have the character to pay the payments. Now, wait a minute. The word surety, we need to be surety for our friends, and we ought not be worried about our own stability. We ought to try to stabilize those around us. The surety means I'll be there to secure you whether you're secure or not. I have a friend in a distant state. He's an assistant pastor, been in this church. I'll use the term lengthy. I don't want anybody to even figure out who it might be. But he's been there over 10 years. Recently, he found out, the pastor called him in and told him that as of the end of July, he would no longer be employed because, quote unquote, they could not afford him. It's an excuse, and he's hurt. I've been helping him. I've been stabilizing him, trying to help he and his family. Now, I can't hire the man, not telling you I ever would. But I can tell you this, I can help stabilize him. I've texted him at different times and said, I bet you're feeling this, and you're going through this, and you're going through this right now. He said, good night. How do you know? I said, because I was an assistant pastor 23 years, and I've had the very thing happen to me that's happened to you, just in a different way. Twice. Don't worry. I got it. I know how your family's feeling. You need to help your wife, and you need to do this, and you need to help your children by doing this. And so what is that? I'm being a friend by being that stabilizer when he's not strong enough to stabilize himself. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what Proverbs 6:1 says, that you become a surety when the other is weak. A friend is concerned about the other more than himself. When I deal with that person, I'm more concerned about their need than I am my own need. I want to be strong. I want to be stable. Can I tell you why? Because I have a whole church full of people I want to be strong and stable for. I'll watch my health better because I have people that rely on me to have good health. Now, I'm not drinking that barley green. And you can drink all the vinegar you want. Healthy people die too. All right? Nobody lives forever. I'm going to die happy. I don't plan on dying soon. And they say the wicked die young, so Ellen's never die. I mean, now wait a minute. Can I tell you something? And by the way, if you do those things, God bless you. That's fine. I'm not going to criticize you for it, but don't criticize me if I don't do it. That's just all there is to it. Now, wait a minute. I want to be strong physically so that I'm stable for my friends, but I must also be strong spiritually for my friends. When my friends are down, they're discouraged, they need help, they need to rely on somebody that's strong enough to carry them through. By the way, none of us stay up here all the time. The good thing is, usually friends aren't down at the bottom at the same time. Otherwise, get a double-gauge shotgun, all right? Double barrel. Friends will be there to help you do right and not participate in wrong. That's why I don't let my friends tell me evil. Even the man that I'm dealing with who lost his job, do you know he's not been critical of his pastor? He has stayed loyal. He's puzzled. And I get that. But we've never crossed the line of negative talk. He's never been critical. I would not let him. I said, Doc, I don't need to know the problem. And I said, you probably won't know all the problem because that person probably won't tell you. And it's okay. Let me help you from here. He said, you know, you're the first preacher I've talked to that hasn't tried to pull out of me what all the problems were. I said, I don't need to know. I need to know what you need so I can help you. Let me help you. I said, as long as it's not one of these three areas. And he said, oh no, not even close. I said, you're fine. Doesn't matter what it is. I said, and if it is one of those three areas, I'll still help you. Doesn't matter to me. It determines what direction we're going, but I need to know how to help you. That's as negative as he got. I still don't know what the problem is, and I don't want to know. I don't ask people what the past is, necessarily, very cautiously, because I don't need to know all the nitty-gritty details. So, by the way, friends are there to help them do right, not find out all the dirt in the past. Everybody doing okay? You don't need to know all the dirt in the past to help somebody. Number two, I got to hurry up here. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. The word deliver there means preserve, or to keep it as it was in its original shape. The Bible says that, do this now, my son, deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Here's the principle I want you to get. We need to preserve right for our friends. Everybody listen to this statement. We're not to be changing all the time. One of the biggest compliments my wife and I get, and as we're around some and around the country a little, or people from around the country when we're at the college, people say, Brother and Mrs. Bush, y'all are the same as you were in college. Good. Now, she looks the same. I don't. Can I tell you something? I don't want to change. Today, 38 years ago today, I preached my first sermon. Do you know I'm still preaching out of the same Bible I preached out of then? I still believe salvation the same way I did then. I still believe the same standards I believed then. I haven't changed. I texted the man who at that time was my youth pastor, who is now pastoring in a different state, and reminded him of it. He said, good night, that was a long time ago. We were both young then. I said, yeah, now you're a grandpa plus. And that didn't make him happy. Can I tell you something? We are to preserve, we are to keep ourselves in an original state so as to keep our friends going the right direction. Brother Fisher and I got to spend a little bit of time together when the tour group was here from Commonwealth a couple weeks ago. Brother Fisher and I went to college together. We sat, matter of fact, Dad had coffee with us that Thursday morning. Do you know, it was as though Brother Fisher and I were still back in college. We hadn't changed. We still believe the same way. Now, we're both older. We've been through a lot of battles together. He's had battles far worse than mine in some cases. But we haven't changed. A person who changes what principles are is a person who destroys friendships.
I have friends over the last 30 plus years who have changed on their stand on the Bible. I will still love them. I'll still be kind to them. I'll still be gracious to them. I do not go hear them preach. I do not go visit them. If I passed them somewhere, I would be kind and gracious to them. I don't call them. I don't spend any time at all with them. Say why? They changed. I didn't. They have distanced the friendship. Sometimes I'll say I've had to distance myself from a friend. What I mean is I've taken my stand and I've let them go and they have distanced from me. I'm on the same path.
You have to make sure your friends are continuing in the right principles. Make sure you and your friends continue in the right principles. I have two men with whom, when we were in college together,
the three of us said, let's all three pack together to make sure we don't change the rest of our ministry. Well, one of those three doesn't believe that the Bible is inspired word of God anymore. Works for an institution that supports that. Sent me a letter wanting me to support him. And I picked up the telephone and called him and said, what's this garbage? I said, do you remember a pact we made? Well, I've come to realize a few things. Brother Bush, I said, well, you've realized something that's not truth. I said, we will remain friends, but we will only talk about that which we agree, and you know what I believe. I'm not changing. That was about 10 years ago. I haven't spoken one word to him since. He will not call. Say why? Because he has nothing in common anymore. Can I tell you something? I had folks that I associated with, folks that taught me in college, and even the college that I went to that has changed direction, and I don't care. I'm going the right direction.
That's good.
They wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean they're bad people. What it means is I'm not changing direction just because it came from a certain institution. Institutions change. The Bible does not. My loyalty is not based on a place. It's based on the Word of God. My loyalty is not based on a person. Did you know people change?
Right.
Loyalty is supposed to be based on the Word of God. Friends are humble and don't push their way on each other.
Do you know I've not gone certain places to speak that I've been invited to even help people? And I refuse to go because my presence would cause dissension with some. And I've said it's best for me not to go.
Therefore, I will not go. Friends, listen to this statement. Friends are humble enough they don't have to push their own way on each other. Do you know if Brother Joe doesn't do something the way I don't do it, doesn't mean that Brother Joe's a bad guy? He doesn't have to do it my way. We're in this together. I played enough sports. You know, team members don't all do things the same way. You know, there's about 675 different ways to throw a baseball. Now, I don't know that that's the exact number. I'm exaggerating. But every person's got their own little quirks to it. Everybody's got their own little style. Everybody's got their own little flair that they put with it. It doesn't mean that one's better than the other. For that person, that works. For another person, another way works. Friends don't have to unload and express all their opinions to one another. My friends don't vomit in my ear. Pardon me for saying it that way. But do you know I don't listen to my friends tell me all the negative that's going on in their life? Now, if they're asking my advice to help somebody, I'll help them. If they're calling just to blow off some steam, I'm going to tell them to call somebody else because I don't need steam blowed in my ear. Amen? I've got to hurry up. Proverbs chapter 13. Let's move on. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 20. Oh, I love this one. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The word companion there is the same word friend. But a friend of fools shall be destroyed. Never be a friend to a fool. Let me say that again. Never be a friend to a fool. Fools will destroy you. Not maybe, not might, they will. Fools will destroy you. Notice, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That sounds like shall be saved. It's the same word. Fools lead you away from truth. Remember the definition of wise people and fools? Wise people knows what truth is and obeys it. A simple person doesn't understand the truth and are trying to figure out what truth is. A fool is someone who knows what truth is but decides to disobey it. They weigh it out and go the opposite way. God says a fool you should not be a friend with because they're going to lead you away from truth. The Bible says a fool wants to be his own authority. That's what the devil tempted Adam and Eve with. Oh, you could be like God. You could choose good and evil for yourself. Genesis chapter 3. Be your own authority. You don't need God. You could be as God. Fools lead you away from God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Bible says don't be friends with somebody that doesn't believe there's a God. And doesn't believe God the right way, doesn't believe the word of God. Everybody doing okay? Fools will lead you the opposite way of wisdom. It amazes me who we choose to get advice from, and sometimes they're fools. Fools lead you to think new or modern ways are better than old Bible truths. Anybody listen to this statement right here? This may separate wheat and tares or whoever, whatever, doesn't matter to me. I have no desire to be a modernist in our church. We don't need modernism. We don't need the modern way. We need to get back to the Bible way. You can't get any better than the source itself. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. It wasn't Peter, it was Jesus. We are to use the model that Jesus gave us, not throw our modern ways into it. Now that doesn't mean we can't have electricity and we can't have lights and we can't have a PA and can't have heated water in the baptistry. I get it. But we have way too much of this modernism. Well, we've got to reach people in the new age. Remember back in the 70s? You had the coffee shop ministries with the hippies. Do you know they're making their way back? Wish you knew how many Baptist churches are putting coffee shops in their churches now. It's the hippies revisited. Uh-oh. I'm going to look over here. I hit something there. Arr! I'm not kidding. I know a church in this town that was trying to do it, and some of the people revolted, so they changed what the purpose was. Everybody doing all right? Well, we'll go out soul winning. Soul winning isn't going out doing questionnaires and bringing the list back and somebody in office playing God deciding who gets saved and who doesn't. If you can get that door open, get the gospel out. That's soul winning. Soul winning isn't just putting a track on the door. Now, I'd rather take that than nothing. And I'm for every track that gets passed out. We've passed out over 120,000 of them. God knows we bought a lot of tracks. I think some of you have wallpapered your house with them. But fools lead you to think new or modern is better than old Bible truths. Well, we need a new Bible. Why do we need a new Bible? We need the old Bible. Amen. More people are ruined by foolish friends than most anything else. Can I give you a modern term for being ruined by fools? Peer pressure. Oh, come on, man. You could do this one time. It won't hurt you. That's a fool. That's a fool. Oh, you could get by with it one time. That's a fool. Most people are ruined by foolish friends. Now, listen to this very carefully. The teenagers heard me say this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I don't care what age you are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. Guaranteed. I gotta hurry. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 20. Too many things I want to get to. I could preach a whole sermon on every one of these points, but well, you don't have time, and I'm not sure you could handle it right now. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. You're gonna love this statement. Money only rents friends. Money cannot buy friends. It will rent them, though.
Good point.
Money attracts people, but friends of money are only as temporary, are usually only as temporary as the money. For instance, the prodigal son. He had many friends while he had money. When the money ran out, he was slopping hogs. Did you ever notice
Job was down to three friends, and all three of them criticized him after he lost all of his businesses and his wealth? He had no friends left when the money was gone.
Friends due to money. Please, I hope this isn't too crude. I tried to make this as palatable as possible. Friends that are only friends because of money are like prostitutes. Money and wealth are not evil. The love of money is. Do you know having money, having wealth, is not a bad thing?
But loving it, and if your whole purpose is nothing but money and things, then you're loving money.
Having wealthy friends is no different than having poor friends. At least it shouldn't be. You know, I thank God for Dr. Russell Anderson. Can I tell you something? Doc is as simple and as common as you and me. Thank God for a Jim Bossy with Jehovah Jireh. Say why? First time I met Jim Bossy, we went to eat. I said,
what do you want to eat, Doc? He said, oh, I don't care. Whatever you eat for lunch. I said, usually a protein bar and a bottle of water. He said, well, that's good. I said, no, I can't do that to you. We went across the street and went over to Arby's, and he pulled out his wallet, and I pushed him out of the way and told the lady, I said, hey, he just got out of jail for money laundering. Don't take his. Take mine. She looked at him. He looked at me.
That's funny.
She didn't know what to do, but she did take my card over his.
See, I can't believe you did that. I believe in paying my way. I didn't talk to him to get his money. I felt very uncomfortable doing what I did. I was obeying Dr. Anderson, and I did not want to do it. Now, thank God, God turned it around, and Meal at Arby's gave us $45,000 for a property. But may I say something? I did not get close to Jim Bossy for that. Jim Bossy would have been my friend had he not given us 45 cents. Just so you know. I have other wealthy friends. You say, are you asking them for money? I don't ask anybody but God. I tell God what we need and let God take care of it. He's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? Money, listen to this statement. Money is a paper foundation and not good to build a friendship on. Do you know if you built a foundation on paper, it's not going to last? So why do we want to build a foundation of a friendship based on paper? Money. So, wealth maketh many friends. Yeah, rich people have a lot of money because people want the money, they don't want the friendship. Why don't you get to learn somebody not based on what their economic standing is? Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 28. Proverbs 16, look at verse number 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Sin or gossip separates friends. Sin or gossip separates friends. Look at these words again, verse 28. A froward man. The word froward means fraud, perverse. So a fraudulent person soweth strife. Everybody listen to me very carefully. People who constantly sow strife around are not good friends. If your friend is constantly arguing with everybody, let's look at the common denominator here. Did you ever notice somebody is never the center of their own equation? If you constantly have bickering and fighting around you, I think I would look in the mirror. Sin in gossip separates friends. The word whisperer means talebearer, gossip, someone who smashes to pieces verbally. The word literally means somebody who will roll or slash somebody to pieces. If I'm willing to talk to Wiley about how bad Joe Lopez is, guess what? When I'm talking to Joe Lopez, I'm going to be willing to talk about how bad Wiley is. And the more you listen to somebody do that, by the way, if I listen to Wiley tear Joe apart, it's going to eventually tear Joe and I apart. Eventually, Joe will do something that may lean towards something he said, and I'm going to say, Shazam, maybe Wiley was right. You're not to even listen to gossip. You know, the best way to shut a gossip up? Don't listen. There is an off button. There is a delete button. There is a, I'm leaving. Well, I don't want to be rude. Now, folks, how much more rude is it to listen to somebody tear somebody apart? Okay, please pardon the vulgarness, and I don't mean in a bad way, but I've been thrown up on before. When you're principal in a Christian school, you get barfed on in every direction. I remember before a big production one night, kid walked up and said, Brother Bush, I don't think I feel very good. All over my pants. In my shoes. Oh, he filled my pockets. Say, what'd you do? Called Brother Joe to get the stuff to put on the carpet. Fortunately, had other clothes in my office. Hopped out of one set into another, and on we went. It wasn't you, was it, Malachi? I don't remember who it was, even. I don't think Malachi ever threw up on me. Now, wait a minute. You say, that's That's gross, preacher. I'd rather have somebody throw up other than on top of me. You know, folks, if you're that sick, do me a favor, leave. Nobody likes that. Okay? It's more rude to throw up all over the floor and everybody else than it is to get up and walk out during church service. Or, like it was in Chicago one time, 100 degrees outside, and this bus captain has this bright idea in Chicago to give out watermelon. But what he didn't do is ice the watermelon down. So he gave a bus full of kids warm watermelon. And they got stuck on the Dan Ryan Freeway on Sunday afternoon traffic. Every couple feet. In a bus that's probably 120 degrees and no air. And some kid in the back of the bus, "Mr. Bus Captain, I don't feel good." He said, "That's all right." Well, what's he do? All over the kid in front of him. He ended up with like 30 people throwing up on that bus. Finally, one kid had the right idea, put his head out the window, and just exploded. Well, next to the bus was a Cadillac. And the guy gets out of his Cadillac in Chicago, banging on the bus. "Did you see what he did to my car?" He opened the door. He said, "Do you want to see what they did to the inside of my bus?" And it's rolling down the steps. That's what gossip is. Why do we want to listen to it? It's verbal vomit. Why do we want to listen to it? A whisperer separateth chief friends. You listen to negative long enough about somebody, eventually it will separate you from that person. I promise you. Truth needs said amongst friends, but often it needs said gently, not harshly. Did you know that truth doesn't need to be hurtful or hateful or mean? Well, I just told them what the truth was. Most time, you, when you get like that, you don't even know what the truth is. You just heard something. You sound like the news media. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. Moving on. We'll finish with this one tonight. Proverbs 17, verse number 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Can I tell you something? Friends have unconditional love. Notice, a friend loveth at how many times? All times. That's when you're up, that's when you're down. That's when you're right, that's when you're wrong. A friend loves at all times. Friends don't always have to agree to love one another. You know, my wife and I don't see eye to eye on everything. I think steak ought to be just about cold in the middle. I like it rare. Knock it in the horns, run a candle over it twice, and it's about ready to eat. Okay? I'm good with that. Now, she likes it like my shoe. Medium well to gone. I mean, she wants it dry, dusty, and half leather. All right? I don't criticize her for it. When I'm grilling, I make hers her way, and I throw mine on last or turn the heat off on mine and throw it on the side. Say why? I know how she likes hers. I'm not going to criticize her because it's different than the way I like it. We don't agree how a steak should be cooked. Her favorite statement to me, "Do you want to make sure this steak's done enough for you? Is it moving?" "Nope, it's okay, it's done." You don't need to spend a lot of time together to be a friend. Friendship is thinking about and caring for someone. I'm gonna use a name and I'm gonna use a situation. Please allow me to be personal for a second. When my children were born, actually before they were born, we prayed for God to give them the right spouse. There are days we prayed for God to hurry it up. There are days we prayed, "Are you sure this is the right one?" On and on. But when Josh and Ruth Ann started dating and then became engaged, we finally met the provost. I met Ruth Ann's parents
the day before they got married. Literally, I met them the day before they got married, the night of their rehearsal.
This is the first time the provost and I had met, and my wife. Can I tell you something? It was like we knew each other for 20 years. Can I tell you why? They prayed every day for Ruth Ann to meet the right person, as we prayed for Josh to meet the right person. Can I tell you something? When that happened, there was an immediate friendship. Now, wait a minute. There's days Ruth Ann will text me and say, "Dad, have you talked to my dad? Is everything okay?" Because I talk to him more than she does, and she lives there. We're close. I haven't seen Brother Provost 3 times. In person. I saw him the time of the funeral, or the wedding, not the funeral. That was not planned. It really wasn't. I brought him up here to preach a Valentine banquet for us. And then we just saw him a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, when we were in Florida. But if you saw us together, we were down there. His ringtones are identical to my ringtones. We're that much alike. Ruth Ann just puts her head down. She just does this. Wait a minute. We don't spend a lot of time together. We might text one another each day a time or two. But we're friends. We're friends. I've seen him 3 times. Literally. In 5 years? 4 years? 5 years? 3 times. Friends are always available to help through problems, though. I know this. If he called or texted me and said, "Hey, can I get your help?" Be glad to. He's done it. I've called him and said, "Can I get your help?" Yep. Friends may be closer than family, because look at verse 17 again. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That doesn't mean a brother is born because of adversity. Usually it means a brother is causing adversity. Usually there's an adversity between a brother and a brother, or a brother and a sister, or a sister and a sister, or sister and a brother. And you need a friend who can help you get through those situations. Friends can be therefore closer than family. I am closer to you and y'all's children than I am most of my own family. Guarantee it. Jesse, I am closer to your kids by far than my own nieces and nephews. By far. I saw my niece for the first time in about 10 years, about a week ago. She's married and has 2 kids. I've never met her husband or her 2 kids till that day. And her oldest is 6. I've never met her husband, never met her kids. I haven't seen her in almost 10 years. I am closer to you all than I am my own nieces and nephews. Everybody doing all right? Spiritual friendship is thicker than blood, and I've got to cut it off there, but I'm going to make a statement here. Spiritual friendship can be thicker than blood ties. And we'll pick up there next week. Thank God for it. Hey, let me ask you a question. What kind of friend are you? Not what kind of friend do you have. What kind of friend are you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. What kind of friend are you? Are you willing to be a biblical friend? Or is it just something that's convenient for you? And you'll be friends with somebody to get out of it what you want. How about we take a biblical approach to it?